I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome into a new episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at DMelt57. We're a little shorthanded this evening. We got Betsy away on assignment. She's going to be reporting back from the Blackhawks-Kings games if she decides to come back from the West Coast, that is. And we're actually recording right now during a Blackhawks game. They're playing the Coyotes as we speak. And I just bring that up because Boris Kachuk just had a breakaway and it didn't look like he had a shot on goal. I think he missed the net. So that's the way things are for the Blackhawks right now. But I still got two of my other line mates with me this evening, so let's bring them both in to get the conversation rolling. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. You can find on Twitter at Shepherd Price. It's Shepherd Price.
Hey, I am sorry to all of the Bulls fans, but let's go Bucks,
wait,
baby.
When did this?
I've been a Bucks fan for like the last 2 years.
Oh my god.
I realize
you're also a Duke fan.
I loved Westbrook, but I realized he's lost it.
He
was the most dominant fucking athlete in the history of the NBA. He's the most athletic NBA player ever, but he's aged out of it. So I switched to Giannis because Giannis is the fucking man.
Oh, you know, I try not to shame people for hopping on bandwagons, but I've got to tell you, Shay, I'm a little.
I am the Detroit Lions fan. I get to hop on bandwagons.
Touche. All right. I'll give you that one. That is. I guess that makes up for everything else. Then is you get your dose of harsh reality.
I have bad karma, and also the Golden Knights are bad this year. So just give me something.
Yeah. You guys broke Jack Eichel. How's that going?
We can talk about this because, like,
I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to point.
Jack Eichel is bad in Vegas. He's been bad. Maybe it's a Pete DeBoer problem. I blame a lot of the stuff that's happening this year on Pete DeBoer, as well as injuries. But Jack Eichel's been bad.
Yeah, did not see that coming. I mean, maybe it's, you know, rush or like not quite back from the injury, or I don't know. There's a lot of things that it could be, but it's not expected. That's for sure. Before we get too far off the rails, I mean, it'll happen eventually. But let's bring in the other member of the pod this evening, and he's on Twitter at Mill182, and he is the Second City Hockey. What Stefan Babcock is the pup. It's Mill Savage.
So for anybody who doesn't know too much about me, Chicagoans and region area people will know this. There's a store, or there was a store, at Navy Pier that was a Chicago sports store. You know, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Bears, everything, Blackhawks. And in the offseason of 95, my parents took me to buy a Michael Jordan jersey, and I cried until they bought me a Dennis Rodman jersey.
Attaboy.
And I had a Bulls bedroom growing up. And I still have a Bulls pillowcase on right now as a 29-year-old man. So go Bulls.
Yeah. If you hear any random outbursts during the recording of this podcast, it's most likely the result of something that happened during the Bulls game, because as we're speaking, I'm firing up the – I've moved things around in the old living room and have wheeled it – well, not wheeled in, but acquired a second screen to maybe have the Bulls-Bucks game on in the background, because I need playoff sports in April, and if I'm going to get them, I ain't going to get them from the Blackhawks. Oh, but hey, they scored a goal. So
they did score a goal, real time.
Two of them in this first period.
I'm a little behind. Hold on.
Dominic Kubalik.
Oh, yeah.
The lone member of Team Kubalik still here.
Well, you know, I just want to throw this out there. I'm not like one of those weird people who's like wants a Bulls wedding or anything like that. I fuck with the Bulls. That might prevent me from finding a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe. You never know, honestly. Hey,
yeah.
You know what? I've spent a lot of time in my work life, and I'm a huge sports fan. I've spent so much time working in sports that there's a time for a break. But the playoffs is not it.
No. Well, I like April, especially with the fact that for some fucking reason it's April and it was like snowing a couple days ago. And I'm getting really shitty about it. Give me my fucking spring already, would you please? So the fact that I still have to sit inside and watch, like, if I'm going to be inside, I'm going to be watching sports. So give me something good to watch. And Blackhawks Coyotes is something I'm going to watch, but I wouldn't necessarily call it something good.
Well, I gotta tell you, both of you guys will, you'll both appreciate this. So I have a few of their like 90s logo hats, you know, like what they're wearing now. And I wore it on Saturday in New Japan, and there was a fucking dude there wearing a Jalmerson Coyotes jersey, like the 90s, like with the one they're wearing tonight, the black one.
Oh, the Kachina jerseys?
Yeah, I do have that, but it's a 90s style one. And this dude straight up had a Adidas Jalmerson. I was like, respect. Like, we love Nick Jalmerson, but like, damn, you spent some money on that.
Well, here's
a real one.
I mean, he was in Arizona for what, 4 or 5 seasons? Like, it was not a short stint out there. So he had plenty of time to become a fan favorite for all three Arizona Coyotes fans that are out there.
The fact that I was in Chicago, though, it seems more likely that this was some Jalmerson fan than a Coyotes fan.
He has probably a snowbird that moved down there from the area and started watching them. It's like, oh, hey, this guy used to be on the Blackhawks.
I might sound weird. Like, obviously, you know, Hawks fan, but I collect hockey stuff, so I have some hats of some unoffensive teams.
Yeah, but
the Coyotes file under unoffensive, I would say.
Well, you know, you say that, but I found them pretty offensive about 11 years ago.
Okay, 2011 was a different story.
Yeah, fucking Rafi Torres.
Still also, better. This is 90s merch. Just it's like way cooler, but
yeah.
That team was they were a bunch of pricks on that team.
Yes. Yes, they were. When you're Captain Shane Doan, what do you expect?
That was when they were in the playoffs all the time and like they'd lose to the Red Wings.
Yeah. That's when they were actually like a halfway decent team, not a team that's going to go play in a 5,000-seat stadium.
Shane's probably like waiting for me to shut the fuck up about old people playoff series.
Well,
like, yo, hey, like,
let's turn it over to Shay and talk about the present Blackhawks, shall we?
Yeah, what I have to say is negative. Yeah.
Go ahead, Shay. What you got?
The Blackhawks were 1-2 against the Arizona Coyotes this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's horrible.
They're on their way to 500.
If they win this game, they're 500 against the Arizona Coyotes, who are, for all intents and purposes, trying to be bad.
Not trying, are bad. They are very bad. Like, not only
actively tried to be bad. Blackhawks are just bad.
The and just like going down the roster, like, I think the last time the Hawks lost to the Coyotes, it was like, it caused me physical, just, there's just, they have two or three young players who could be exciting. Like Nick Schmaltz, I think could be pretty good. Although, like, we keep talking about him being a young guy. Like, he's not, like, he's been in the league for a while now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got Clayton Keller. They got Clayton Keller.
Chychrun.
I feel like there's Fisher. Another guy. Yeah. They've got some young talent. I don't know if it's enough to fuel the whole team and if their rebuild's going to be good.
Well, also, all that cap they ate from trading guys, like, once it's gone, they're going to have a ton of cap space to play
but
with.
There's just, like, do me a favor, yourself. Go look at that roster of who's playing tonight. And, like, if you can name more than, if you're familiar with more than four names on that roster, you're a better hockey fan than me. I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. Like, Schmaltz, Kessel.
If you know more than two defensemen on the Coyotes lineup tonight, good for you.
And the Hawks just lost two of three to them.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews have played 18 Stanley Cup final games and, you know, how many playoff games? How do you get juiced for this fucking game?
I don't
seriously.
I assume you go through the motions in pregame and like you get your body warmed up so you don't get hurt because Toews is, you know, in his mid 30s now, so he probably needs to warm up.
And he's had back problems for 12 years.
But I have to imagine that the adrenaline rush is just, I don't know how it's not there. There's no way it can be there. It just I don't know how, again, but that's why they're professional athletes, I guess, because they are able to at least get somewhere near semblance of pumped up for a meaningless 77th game of the season in Arizona against a team that's, for all the intents and purposes, worse than they are, but maybe not by as much as we would like them to be worse.
Well, they're both at the fucking, you know, they're both at the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when healthy, I'd take the Arizona Coyotes roster over the Seattle Kraken's roster currently assembled. If both rosters are fully healthy, I'd rather have the Arizona Coyotes roster.
They got Phil Kessel.
Would you like to be puked on or shit on? I guess that's what I've got with these two. Like neither
this
one
is like watching the in-betweeners.
would you rather prove that expansion drafts weren't biased or prove that you should be playing in front of 5K
people? Speaking of that, I heard Nashville's going to get a baseball team. Apparently,
like
there's a bid for that
at the MLB level.
Yeah, and that'll be fucking annoying, no matter what league they're in.
How many expansion teams are they doing? Because they're going to need to do, like, right?
I'm assuming two, but, like, that was the first notification I got.
Apparently,
that there was a bid
Oakland A's legend Dave Stewart is fronting the bid, so there's that. So, I hope they end up in the same division as the White Sox, so I have another reason to hate a Nashville team, because I'm really annoyed by the Predators. Like, I feel like since their entire existence, they just annoyed the hell out of me. And I miss the days when the Hawks and Predators rivalry was good. And I hope the Hawks get good again at some point so I can go back to having a proper reason to hate the Nashville Predators. Because right now it's just like, it's kind of pointless to have any sort of negative feelings about any team.
The Bears don't really play the Titans often.
Yeah, they're and then what other?
They are annoying if you're an AFC fan, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I don't think there even is a basketball team in Tennessee. Oh, Memphis, excuse me.
Oh well, yeah, but they're not Nashville, which it's definitely different.
I don't. Yeah. So.
Although John Morant's sick.
Yes, he is. What were we talking about? We were talking about hockey, though. I think at some point. The first period ended. The Hawks were up 2-0, which. You know, is nice, I guess. It's better than being down 2-0 to the Coyotes.
They're showing some stuff about Charlie Romiliotis, our guy, so shout out. Colby Cullen's got some white and red Nikes on with a suit. I'm mad on
this. This is riveting content, folks. I don't know. Is there any of you have any burning thoughts from the last week of Blackhawks hockey? I mean, there's not been. It's just kind of, you know, writing out the rest of the season.
Yeah. They have six games left. Like, they're not improving. Connor Murphy's probably out the rest of the season because it doesn't seem like he's, like, there's been any news about him.
Yeah. I think he said I believe he was back skating, but Yeah, it's at this point, it's like,
why bother?
He's got like, yeah, he's got like 9 days to ramp up for maybe one game.
I'll say this. Colby Cohen played like three games. Kaylee Chelios played zero NHL games, although her father played very many. And she is like a billion times better than Colby Cohen. They do not need three people right now. She's actually really good. I enjoy her.
Yeah.
In between periods,
the game, stuff, she has good stuff to offer.
I forget who they brought in, what broadcaster they brought in. It was the guy that was with the Stars forever, and he did the play by play, and Kaylee Chelios was the analyst. Excuse me. And
it was good.
It was a very good broadcast. Ralph Stringle.
Stu Grimson is who they need to hire full time for at least for in between periods.
Yeah. But Shays, you sound like you had some thoughts on the Blackhawks' recent game. So let's.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. The Blackhawks are like, yeah, they're just right. They need to ride it out. They need to just play the kids again, as always, as we've continued to say. Mm-hmm. The fact that both Kirby Dach and Philip Kurashev were healthy scratched for one game is not a good sign from Derek King at this point in time.
No.
Like, just let the kids make mistakes, get the kids in the game. Like, where the hell is Ian Mitchell? Like, come on.
Well,
I know Rockford's probably in a better position and are probably heading towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like with Lucas Reichel going back down after the last game, I don't think any of those guys are coming up. Like, I think the guys that are in Rockford now are staying there. Like, Rockford has been kind of locked in to the number four seed. In that, like, they're going to make the I believe they've officially clinched or not, or close to it. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. But the time to bring some of those guys up was like right after the trade deadline. But there's still so many defensemen on this team anyway. Like,
None of them are like actually going to be part of this team. Like, yeah. Some of the ones in Rockford have a chance to be, like, when the rebuild is over. Like, do you really expect like Caleb Jones to be here? Because if so, I'm going to throw a fit.
Well,
no, bunch of them stink for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
Riley Stillman stinks. Caleb Jones stinks. Sorry, Jake McCabe had a terrible year.
Oh, he's turning it around though.
Salvage it.
He had a first period goal. Yeah, Jake McCabe. There's at least something on paper from
prior seasons
that leads you to believe maybe they could figure it out.
Yeah, maybe it's just like a coaching thing, and it's
maybe recovering from injury season. Like I hope to God this was an anomaly because he's under contract for three.
All things considered, like guys like Jake McCabe and Seth Jones and whoever else, Caleb, you know, they came into this team and it was like Colleton's system, which was horrible, and then Derek King, who it's not good, but it's just like the basics, which fundamentals are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how do you adapt to this, like coming into this shit show? Like, seriously, like, not I know it's a harsh clearly. Thing to say, but it's not a good situation to come into. What this no. year it wasn't, I mean.
Yeah, well, Jake McCabe came from Buffalo, so.
But
things are that much better there.
No, but no. It was. Jeremy Colleton was the worst coach in the league.
I mean, I don't have an argument against it.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that stinks for a professional to come into that.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, and then with everything that unfolded the first month of the season away from the ice, which probably had it's just
wasn't good. Yeah.
I after the trade deadline, it was kind of like, just get this fucking season over with. Get to the end of the season, everyone healthy, and then like let's see whatever the hell is going to happen in the off season, and then we'll go from there. Like I don't
counterpoint. Pat Boyle is swagged out tonight.
Shay,
I don't know if you have the local broadcast or not, but
I have it on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pat Boyle's got he's got a probably a pretty expensive suit on right now.
Well,
there's that.
I don't think they put cheap suits on TV. Well, we got the intermission.
No, right trust now. Me, I've seen plenty of them.
Feels
like Shay agreed with me there.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of the only other thing I could really think about last week, like the goal that Johnny Gaudreau scored on, was that Saturday night or
that
Sunday?
Was disgusting.
The one where he skated right down the slot with nobody in within fucking 20 feet of him. And
I said on Twitter, that looks like Steph Curry.
It was a bad switch between Sam Lafferty and Taylor Radish. And it's just, it was, I just watched, it's like, this is the most basic shit. And the Hawks fucked this up. And I feel like that mess up is indicative of all of the defensive problems that they've had for the last 5 years or so. And
how many times, Dave, how many times do you think that Patrick Kane's done that to people who fans of their team have said the same shit?
Well, yeah, there's that line between like a good player making a play and a team allowing the player to do that. Like I played the article I wrote, the goal that Johnny Gaudreau scored against the Hawks was basically the right-handed version of the goal that Kane scored against the Kings in game 6 in 2014, where he started on the right boards, looped around to the high slot and fired a shot. And
Sean sideline.
Yeah. And the Kings like barely blew the coverage. Like there was maybe 5 feet of space and Kane was able to score on it. Johnny Gaudreau had like at a wide open lane to get to the net and was like 15, 20 feet away from the net. And it's just like, if you see how big the gap is between, I guess, the team that won the cup in 2014 and the Hawks now. Yeah, that's
the funny thing. You bring up that goal. My uncle, who is the member of our family, had season tickets. We won a lot. We had a group chat with him, me, and my brother. And when he scored that goal, he texted my brother and I, "Kane is such a motherfucker." That was I'll never forget that, because my jaw was on the fucking ground when he scored that goal. But for what it's worth, that was a playoff game against the eventual Stanley Cup champions. Johnny Gaudreau just like took advantage of a shit team.
Yeah. I feel like I've been watching this team watching similar defensive lapses for 5 years. And actually that was the one thing we said when Derek King took over, is that it felt like there hadn't been players waltzing down the slot with nary a Blackhawks defender inside for a while. Like they'd done much better job with zone coverage. And then to see that, it was just like, nah, fuck, here we go again.
Mm. Well, all things considered, I feel like while I don't love Derek King, I feel like there got to be a certain point where they knew they were out of it. And there's a lot of not interested signs being hung up.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's not a good excuse. It's just like,
obviously our collective feelings of Derek King are well known. Shay, sure. I'm sure waiting to chime in. but it's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm running out of things to say about this team until the season ends and we start to figure out what direction they're going to go in next. Is there anybody, Shay, I'll swing this around to you. Is there anything, any players or any things that have caught your eye or things that might have changed your mind or changed the way you thought about how things are going to unfold when we get to the off season, or like a player whose opinion you might have evolved on from the last month or so?
I mean, I will again admit that I was wrong about Taylor Radish, and I would not mind him being part of this team when the rebuild is over, because he'll be like 28, 29. Yeah. Like he'll still be okay then.
I hope so.
Like, yeah.
Although I also like, it's a 5-year rebuild. We got yes. Problems.
I also I swear to God, if they trade Alex to Brinkat.
Well, that's
you can't.
Well,
yeah, he's the golden goose.
But yeah, well, that's I think that's the the line I've always maintained. You can't call the rebuild of Taze and Kane are here, and you probably need to throw DeBrinket in there as well. Although, like, you could see a idea where they tear the whole thing down and build it back up and keep DeBrinket here, because in 4 to 5 years, like, DeBrinket will still be.
The Brinkhead
will be, yeah, like, he'll still be a contributor, but it's just
you can rebuild around things, and I feel like the Brinkhead is a piece you can rebuild around.
Yeah, and as soon as you trade away a guy like Alex DeBrinkhead, you'll be looking for another guy like Alex DeBrinkhead,
and it'll be hard to find him, especially if you did, like, especially in the second round again.
Yeah,
well, he's not something you get all the time. He's special,
and I feel like I hope. I guess my concern with like Alex DeBrincat is that if any, like you can't point to Alex DeBrincat, I don't think, and use him as evidence that the Blackhawks know how to develop talent.
Like, no,
they sent him to a prospect camp and he tore shit up and he was so obviously ready for the NHL at 18 or 19, however old he was when he made the jump initially. So
yeah. So giving the Hawks credit for him is like saying Simpson's hit and run taught me how to drive.
Exactly. So yeah, like I, there's no outside of that, like, you know, again, our another topic we probably beaten to death, but there ain't been too much else development this season. Like Dylan Strome got better. And I feel like that's, you know, just, Hey, this guy's really good at offense. So are these two guys. Let's put them on a line and see what happens. And there's your
line that's from been together before too. Yeah, a line that was together in previous seasons.
But outside of that, like, and I think part it is at least somewhat a product of like all these young defensemen that they have, like they come up for like a handful of games here and there. And I think the crux of them are in Rockford still. Like Mitchell's down there, Bodan's down there, Regula's been there for the most part, Kalanuk. God, yeah, I forgot about Wyatt Kalanuk, which is weird because like I felt like last season there was some buzz around him and it disappeared. Alex Vlasic's up here now, and I wonder if he's going to go back down to Rockford at some point soon, or just because he has a last name of another NHL player, do they think he's already NHL ready? I don't know. But there's I don't have reasons for – all I have is for reasons for pessimism. Like I feel like I don't have any reasons for optimism at the moment until we see what happens this summer.
I think like while it's realistic to not get too optimistic over the new regime, so to speak, I think it's nice knowing that the same people aren't in play as far as the, player management level.
Yeah.
It's a refreshing.
Yeah. I mean like, there's been like the moves that they've made so far seem to have worked out well. Like the Fleury trade was a good one. The Brandon Hagel trade seems like a good one. You know, they turned Alex Nylander into Sam Lafferty, and Sam Lafferty seems like he's at least like a decent NHL fourth liner. So like there hasn't been any mistakes so far, but I feel like a lot of those are the lower grade difficulty moves. You know, now you're getting into the big stuff. Like, you know, what do you do with Kane? What do you do with Taves? Do you keep to bring it around? What do you do with Dylan Strome? What do you do with Dominic Kubalik? What do you do with Henrik Borgstrom? Like there's a lot more players that have much bigger question marks that are not going to be as easily solved. And that's where a lot of the intrigue comes up for me. Like I feel like the self-scouting thing with the Hawks has been their biggest area of deficiency in figuring out which guys on their team, you know, are NHL level players and which ones are not. And I feel like there's a lot of players they've given up on or moved sooner than they should have. I mean, you know, every time I watch the Florida Panthers and I see Lucas Carlson and Gustav Forsling skating ample minutes for that team, it's just like, you know, those are two players the Hawks could use so well right now, but they're not here. And it's not like those guys were moved for cap purposes or the Blackhawks had their hand forced in any way. It just seemed like the Hawks decided those guys weren't going anywhere, so they threw them in trades and off they went. So that's the part that I'm still up in the air about. Because even if you tank like hell and you land Connor Bedard in 2023, cool. But there's another guy named Connor who's tearing shit up in the NHL and ain't won a goddamn thing because he doesn't have enough help around him.
Because he and his... another top five player in the league.
Yeah.
Make as much as Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Which is
part of the reason the Blackhawks aren't winning shit.
Well, yeah, but they also, I mean, like McDavid, they were not winning shit even before he got those massive raises. So this, like the Blackhawks team that isn't all that dissimilar from the one you're watching right now, beat that team in a 7-game series. So, or five, wasn't that a fiver? But either way, the Hawks beat the Oilers. Like, come on, man. That should be the biggest indictment of the Oilers' current era as you could possibly muster. Or whatever.
There were some pretty important differences, especially in net, is the thing, though.
Yeah, I remain like, you think Edmonton's going to do anything this postseason? Like, because you, I like this is, I
think, no, because their goaltending hasn't changed. That's that's another problem, is that, well,
that's,
Edmonton,
and that's kind of the point. Like, you don't need, like, obviously you need your stars. Don't get, like, every team that's won a cup for the last ever usually has one incredible star player, at least, if not several. But you need your second, third liners and your second pairing guys. Like, it's hockey's so much more of a team sport sometimes than I think people fully understand. Like, you know, the guys, Duncan Keith played crazy amount of hockey every night, and he still didn't play half a game ever. So
he played 30 before.
Okay. All right.
But he still, 30 is half. It's not like 30, it's 75%.
Yeah. And 30 was an anomaly. He was probably,
I think the main thing is, one player can be special, but they can't take over and win a 60-minute game in hockey.
Yeah. Or sure as hell not a 7-game series.
No. It's different. I mean, it's weird. I think people are used to, like, basketball, where you could have a guy, like, just completely take over, but hockey's different. You have to be front loaded, you know, coach helps, and it's tough. The Hawks have kind of, their roster's not, like, absolutely terrible. Like, I feel like they're playing worse than it is, but it's also kind of a mindset where it's like, hey, we're in the shit, you know, we're in the shit can right now. Like, we're not, like, look how they started their season and then they lost 8 in a row recently.
Yeah, they have won one game out of their last 10, but hey, at least they got their shit together to win Pat Foley's last game.
True. Thank God, because there's
your dose of optimism.
If anybody deserved it, it was him.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has all been fun and uplifting. So I don't know. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna gather our thoughts. Maybe we'll find some fun stuff to talk about. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It's the Blackhawks. So, but that's really a good advertisement to get people to come on back. But yeah, come on back anyway, because, well, what else are you going to do, right?
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smart Food, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings of Madison. And as I sold it so well before the break, so thanks to everyone that came to the other side of this this commercial break here, because I was lamenting to Shay and Mill in our little intermission there, like, this is just like, I think because of how much fun the Hawks were in the prior decade, like the last, like, this sucks, man. Like, this season, at least, like, with last season, there was, like, you had the understanding that, you know, they were playing all these young kids and a few of them were shining and you had, like, a little bit of reason for hope. This season's just, this has been the one of the least enjoyable seasons I can remember for the Blackhawks. Like, I think I was too young to fully comprehend how bad they were in the late 90s and early 2000s. This season, just like, I think there was, I had a little bit of hope that at a minimum they would compete for a playoff spot. And I know I picked him as a wild card spot at the start of the year. Congratulations, Shay, you didn't. but
they picked Vegas, so
yeah.
There's still a 90% chance I'm right about that.
I'm just saying, Shay, like, if they miss, I think we're even on this shit.
Yeah. But I guess
picked them too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, yeah. I picked them too.
I have to look. The Blackhawks one is the only one I remember. But I will say, and I if I didn't say this before, I should have. But all sports predictions are stupid and pointless because the seasons are too random. Weird shit happens, and they're pointless. So if you put any stock in any predictions we make or that anybody makes, don't. But what was I talking about? Oh yeah, I was just talking about how just miserable and not enjoyable the season is. And yeah, I don't have any other better words than that. Like of the last five seasons, and maybe there's a hint of recency bias in here, but like if you go down the list of the seasons the Hawks have had, like, you know, they had a few of the first few Colleton years, they at least kind of flirted with the playoffs a couple times, and that's about as close as they got. And you know, well, then
they got to the big, they did get to the playoffs in 2020 in that weird bubble.
Yeah, but they were in 12th place. Like they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Been.
I mean,
they shouldn't have, but they did play a playoff series against Vegas. They lost in five games, but they played a playoff series.
They should have lost in four, but Corey Crawford is a god. So,
and that legitimately made that season far more enjoyable than this.
Yeah.
One. You know,
well, I think too, we were all pent up. I mean, I can't speak for the two of you because I wasn't a part of the squad yet, but having hockey back after that COVID break was awesome.
Oh no. Yeah. Like that's the thinking back now on that time, like the 3 months where you didn't have sports to watch, like it's such a big part, you know, I'm sure of all of our lives. Like if I don't have anything going on and I'm just like hanging out at home for this evening, like, or any evening, I'm probably watching some sport. Like,
I'm not going to lie. When they beat Edmonton, there was a whole lot of drinking going on at my house.
Yeah. Like there was like after they beat Edmonton and you knew that they were facing Vegas. Like I remember the thought was, well, I'm certainly not optimistic that they're going to beat Vegas, but you know,
no,
what the hell? Weird shit happens sometimes. Like even just that you don't even get that anymore. Like, Because of how bad the season has been and how awful the entire everything has been this year, like you don't even get that little like glimmer of hope about sneaking in as the eighth seed and like, so, yeah, maybe weird shit happens. So let's check. And that's the whole fun of this. And that's why season is got to be the least enjoyable that I can remember.
You know, the Bears, Sox, and Cubs have all kind of had the same trajectory at different times where they all got the championship and then just kind of whatever. But this more reminds me of when the Bulls got bad.
Which time?
Like after they won, you know, a bunch of
championships. After the Jordan years?
Yeah, like, oh, we're in, like, I know they won six, not three, and they had 2 three-peats, but it was kind of like, oh, we're good every year, like, no doubt. And then it was just kind of like, I know Taves and Kane are still here, but it's like, oh, like, we stink.
It's almost like it's like Taves and Kane turned into Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler.
Oh my God. That was my era, Bulls. Yeah, shout out Kirk Heinrich. Yeah. Seventh overall pick, baby.
Yeah, but there's Shay, you sound like you were going to say something. Sorry.
No, yeah, I was just like the post Jordan years makes sense. The Bulls.
Yeah, that's, and it took, you know, God, the Bulls were down for a long time before they came back up for air.
Well, it's weird. Like the Hawks were the hot, because you think the Cubs didn't win till after the 15 one, and now the Sox are getting good right now. They're good, so it's like the Hawks were the team.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like they ran the city for 5 years. Like they
people were, who never liked hockey loved them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and I feel like they have. It's gonna be, I think they're testing the limits on this now, but they had an entire generation of people who grew up the way that I grew up and might have as well, like the Bulls winning. You know, you were always at least somewhat interested in the Bulls because you knew you were going to get a parade in the summer. And, I mean, you know, the Hawks didn't have Michael Jordan, but they had two pretty good guys.
But I mean, I remember like getting to, my family would get together for Bulls games, like in the living room. Like it was like a big deal.
When was the last time either one of you got together with somebody else to watch a Blackhawks game?
That wasn't my dad.
we'll include your father here because I'm guessing maybe when you were like home for the holidays or visiting or something. But like there's no reason to anymore.
I mean,
like
the last one I remember is DeBrincat's hat trick against Detroit.
So that was
few years ago, like my brother and I went out with one of our homies to the bar and just like watched it, and they happened to, you know, have a great game.
That was
like
the 2021 season, right?
No, this is like maybe 18, 19.
Okay.
Like it's a few years. This is pre-COVID.
Yeah. That's the thing. I just like, I think that's kind of indicative. There's just, it feels like there's just a general lack of buzz and excitement in general about the team. And man, I don't know when it's going to come back. And like, it's weird to have this conversation because, well, if anybody who isn't a Blackhawks fan is listening or is not a Blackhawks fan and listen to this podcast, I'd ask you, why would you listen to us complain about our shitty team? Well, maybe you cheer for a better team, but also I feel like anytime I've tried to complain to other SB Nation website writers about my team, they're like, oh yeah, a Blackhawks fan. How sad for you, because the Hawks did have their three cups.
Well, I think though there's some legitimacy in your complaint, because forget the cups. As soon as they were done after 16, they were pretty good. 17, they won 50 games and got swept. They've been pretty shitty. Like it wasn't like the Penguins where they make the playoffs, but maybe they're not that good, or Boston. It's like, no, like they suck. They're not a good team to watch.
It took a pandemic to get them in the playoffs. Like,
and they had to beat the Oilers, who are a joke.
Yeah. Also, all right. Shay, did you see what just happened in the Blackhawks game? Did your feed catch up to it?
Yeah, they scored.
Because here's...
Hold on, I'm about to watch it.
Okay. Well, no, you're probably seeing the replay at this point, but I remember.
Real behind.
I see because I'm getting
it just goes. It just like he could have made a save. He could have made that save. Am I wrong? Lankinen could have made that save.
I don't know what happened to Kevin Lankinen, but
I feel like I'm fucking Tony Soprano.
Yeah, exactly. But
I don't feel like it's ironic that the two defensemen who were on the ice for that play were on the ice for that play.
Still,
you know what? They just showed some Coyotes fan clapping, and I'm sorry, but the rolled sleeves with the hockey jersey is a bad look.
All right, we're gonna have there's such a long list of Mills jersey rules. I would love to see them. You would get up to 500 at least.
No, but I'm just saying, if you're wearing a hockey jersey and you're rolling the sleeves above your elbow, just wear a t-shirt.
I can't get over that goal. Andrew, that's Ladd. Just a bad goal.
All right, let's
shout out Andrew Ladd, who's on the ice for that goal.
hey, by the way, Andrew Ladd playing his 1,000th career game tonight. Congratulations to Andrew Ladd, who
he's very nice. I met him once. He's very cool.
I really enjoyed Andrew Ladd when he was in Chicago. I was really excited when they brought him back the second time. It didn't go as well as the first time, but Andrew Ladd rules, and I'm glad he got up to 1,000 games, even if it hasn't been the back several.
Yeah, he won two cups,
so enjoyable. But hey, yeah, he got his cups.
He got he got one. His rookie year was with Carolina, right? He won.
Yeah. But going back to the present day Hawks, the one player I wanted to talk about, I'm not glad it happened because it was a goal against, but Kevin Lankinen, like, I don't remember him being this scrambly last season. I don't, maybe it was just the, having something positive about last season and I ignored the faults, but Kevin Lankinen's losing his net multiple times every game, it feels like, at this point, and he just gave up a goal as the result of another one. And I don't know what happened to Kevin Lankinen, because he was a lot more fun last season, but this season is just great. They're just not
Don't kill me. Maybe having a mentor who is much better at the scrambly bits taught him the wrong lessons. Because Mark, let's make sure one thing very clear about Marc-Andre Fleury. He's a very athletic goaltender. And you know what the problem with very athletic goaltenders is that they're often out of possession, and that's why they have to be very athletic.
That's exactly
one of the traits you would never call Corey Crawford was very athletic, because Corey Crawford knew his fucking positioning better than maybe any other goaltender.
The reason Corey Crawford was so underrated is because he didn't have highlight reel saves, because he was in position to save most shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You know, the only highlight reel saves he made.
Right. It's the same thing with Lundqvist. Like, he has all these highlight reel saves because he's out of position, but he's so athletic he can get over and make the save.
Same exact thing with Jonathan Quick, too. Like, Quick made all these highlight reel saves because he was always out of position.
I mean, for people are going to hate on me for this, but I don't care. That was most of Scott Darling's better games. Dude was like, you know, taller than Michael Jordan. Like, let's be honest.
People are going to hate on me for this. Dominic Hasek was like that too.
Oh, for sure. But, well, yeah. I mean, Dominic Hasek
was the original one.
Yeah, he was.
The guys that could do that, they still have the sixth sense and always were able to somehow find their net. And when Fleury had like those series against the Flyers when he got ran out of the building every night, he would get caught swimming in his crease and all hell would break loose, and then there'd be a puck behind him in the net. And I feel like that kind of triggered all of that. But some of the guys, and when he rediscovered his net, he was a very good goalie, as we saw for so much of this season. But I don't know if Kevin Lankin is trying to emulate Marc-Andre Fleury, or he watched too many highlight videos of him in the offseason, or when he became teammates with him and said, I can do that, but he cannot.
Well, Kevin Lankinen also has the unfortunate job of playing cleanup right now.
Yeah, I mean, between him and Delia, like, they're just kind of wearing it for the rest of the season.
Connor Murphy got injured, Fleury got traded,
you know. But, like, the team sucked last season, too, and Kevin Lankinen was pretty good for at least for the first half of last season. Maybe this is just the
Crawford second season, the sophomore slump.
It's like maybe just more of more accurate sample size producing the results of what Kevin Lankinen really is. And maybe last season was the flash in the pan. I mean, like last season, like the goal saved above average metric that the Hockey Reference website uses. Like last season, he was a plus 1.9, which is fine. He's, you know, mildly above average. This season, he's at negative 16.9. And I believe that's one of the worst marks in the entire league. So,
Well, the other thing, too, to consider is, like, they had so much weird coaching change because he was, like, a Rockford guy who came up last year with Colleton. And then it was like, all right, he's gone. Now we're playing this defense. And I feel like he knew Colleton's defense, and he knew he had to be more positionally sound because they were all over the fucking place. I know it sounds weird, but it's like you have to be mindful of what's playing in front of you.
Yeah. I was, as we were looking ahead to the future, we talk about whether or not, like, what they're going to do in the goaltending situation next year, because I don't believe that they have an NHL goalie under contract for next season. Because Fleury obviously is gone and he was on an expiring deal anyway. But both Delia and Lankinen are UFAs this summer. And Arvid Soderblom's probably staying down in Rockford. Drew Comesso's, I believe, staying at Boston. So he's even further away. Like, you ain't got a goalie next season. And if you bring back Lankinen and Delia, like, unless one of them two really pops off next season, You're guaranteed to have a miserable team regardless of who's on the ice in front of them.
So, I think
when you're trying to rebuild, when you're trying to rebuild and maybe get Connor Bedard, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Shay, if they lose 50 games next year, how are you going to develop any players if your team sucks that bad? Like that's the gray area of the debate that we'll have plenty of time to explore in the summer, but I just
forget about developing players. How's my liver going to last if I lose 50 games?
Well, there's that too.
You hope that like maybe they start the season. I this is a weird thing to say. You hope they start the season on like a 20 game losing streak, and then like they go an improvement.
They started this season losing 11 out of 12. If they go to 20 next year, I'm going to fucking quit.
I really think the Hawks are going to have this kind of like mediocre.
Go on. Run. Sorry, I don't want to spoil it for you.
No, you're okay. I was going to say, I think the Hawks will be mediocre next year. I don't think they'll be that bad because the biggest thing is we'll have to see what happens with the coaching. But also, if they start the season without losing, you know, 12 fucking games or whatever it is, that puts you in at least a 500 position. Like, I know they had an 8-game losing streak after they traded Fleury and all that, and Connor Murphy got hurt. But think about it. Like, look how poorly they started the year. Colleton didn't have a record like that until that he got to start a full like 82 game season.
Yeah. I mean, like this season was doomed from about Halloween. because of things on and off the ice. So it's a complete wash. And, you know, next season, if you at least get like, God, you know, be 500 by Christmas, at least, you know, just give us a reason to
don't be out of it by Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. Hey, we scored.
That was not a good goal. That was not a good goal.
That was so Coyotes. That's so Coyotes. Who the hell
was that? Alex Black?
Oh, there's some that blonde chick flexed in her jersey. That was definitely a Chinese knockoff.
I feel sorry for Vlasic then, because that's not one you want to remember as your first.
Well, did you see the one where Gula scored? He baked it off the post in the back of whoever the fucking goalie was. Hey, I almost said it's a line drive in the book. Like it's whatever the hockey equivalent of that is, you know, it's a one timer from the point through three players that sneaks in just under the bar.
Nick Schmaltz watched that fucking goal go in. You know what the funny thing about that was is did Kane get the tip?
Everybody on Twitter saying that's Alex Vlasic's goal. So I don't think so.
I don't know, Kane. Well, if anything, he distracted guys in the goal mouth. But geez, that was ugly.
Yeah, it wasn't the prettiest goal I've ever seen. Like once again, we know the Hawks are bad. It's not like the Coyotes are good either, though. So
that's the thing. It's like they're not playing a good team. There's like maybe 5,000 people there.
Well, hey, next year that'll be full capacity.
I'm going to go to a game there next year just so I can experience an NHL game in that kind of room.
Well, like, yeah.
That's a true plan for me.
Just go to a college hockey game. It'll be the same thing.
Well, no, because, like, they might be playing a good team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine seeing Connor McDavid, you know, play in that room. I don't want to go to a college hockey game. Why would I want to watch that?
Well, I mean...
Go see Notre Dame play. Like, I mean, I guess that's kind
of
close.
If you want to go watch Landon Slaggart, the future of the Blackhawks.
Maybe Dave, you and I can plan on that for. Yeah. We'll do a on location report.
Yeah. By the way, I put this question on Twitter, and I want to bring this to you two. Every hockey player at every level ever who has had the name Campbell has been called Soupy. So Alex Vlasic's nickname has to be Pickles, right?
I mean, that's what Mark Edwards' nickname is.
I assumed. I wasn't in touch with the Sharks fan base. I forgot to reach out beforehand. But, yeah, it seems like. But, yeah, Ben Pope responded on Twitter, the Sun-Times reporter, and said they're calling him Vlassy. Because, of course, they will. Because no one has a good original idea.
Yeah, because we've started to trust NHL players to come up with their own nicknames, which is a bad idea.
You know what? Obviously, hockey players aren't good at this either. In general, I feel like sports nicknames are just not good anymore.
See,
we used to have really good ones, and it doesn't happen, and it's disappointing.
Okay, here's the thing, though. La Pantera is a fantastic nickname.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. There's. I feel like there was a lot more. There was more frequently, more consistently good ones than there are now.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm a music person, but like I try to give them cool nicknames. Like I would always refer to Hagel as 38 Special.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a few that are still there, but.
And people are like, I feel like. And it's like, that's lame.
Yeah. Or like they called Artemi Panarin was the bread man. Like that's.
Yeah.
That's
Pantera, so dude.
Yeah.
Pantera. I always loved that. That was awesome. Like the bread man is like. I don't know. It's just kind of lame. It's like the food thing. It's just not cool sounding.
And also, I to be fair, I live here, but it's the St. Louis Bread Company. Maybe don't call them.
It's obviously not a concern of ours anymore, unfortunately. Sky points our Artemi Panarin's contract.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, regardless of people's different music tastes, like Pantera is one of the most well-known heavy bands ever. Like that's a cool like sounding name. It just sounds cooler.
I will die on this hill. There's no way that girl in Mighty Ducks that was talking to Charlie Conway knew who Pantera was. I refuse to.
You know what? That's the coolest.
She did not listen to Pantera. Absolutely not.
Okay, I have something to say. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Mighty Ducks fan, here's an Easter egg. I'm pretty sure that one of the writers is a big Pantera fan, and the reason I say that is not because of the third movie. But in the second one, when it's the beginning and Bombay goes to his house and he does the duck call and Charlie's studying or whatever, he has Proud to Be Loud on, which is a Pantera song before, it's pre-Cowboys from Hell, like when they were hair.
So it's a deep cut is what you're telling me.
Yeah. So like right. Whoever wrote those movies loves Pantera. It's actually the guy who wrote them is in all three. And he's also in The Wedding Singer.
I think after we adjourn tonight, after the Hawks game, of course, I got to finish watching the Hawks game, but I'm going to go watch one of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Because yeah. So the second one, you'll hear he's studying. He's like tapping his pencil. Yep, he's got headphones and you'll look proud.
I know exactly what scene you're talking
he's
about.
He's got like a Hawk. He has a Blackhawks hat hanging on his thing.
Does he really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a Hawks hat. Yeah. Like a North Stars, yeah. Which does not make sense.
Yeah. That's gonna be on the agenda soon. So
when are we doing a Mighty Ducks episode?
maybe soon. The Hawks are up 3-1, which is cool. But the Bulls, I haven't really been watching. They were up double digits, and now it's down to single digits. So that sucks. Oh, and now Sam Lafferty's fighting somebody.
Also in the suck category, Eric Gustafson.
Well. Remember when they signed him at the start of the season? And I think they signed him essentially because they needed a body because a bunch of guys were hurt. And I don't even know the word for it. Like flabbergasted is the one that comes to mind. I can't believe he's still here. And he's still playing games. Like I thought we were done.
I freaked out when they signed him and y'all told me that he was a body who was only going to be temporary.
Well, they did not say that. I am not a Gustafson guy.
I was told that in our chat
I know
LBR was one of them.
Look, Betsy's not here to defend her. Don't drag her into this. But yeah,
you know what? Speaking of Betsy not being here, we should be spending more time talking about Dan.
we absolutely should.
Betsy keeps us grounded. This is like a fucking free for all.
I can't believe this didn't turn entirely into a wrestling conversation. But hey,
it would have been more optimistic. It would have been nicer. Uh-huh. It would have been less sad.
There's a new wrestling show where the three of us might go hang out at. That's our optimistic take for the night that the June 26th show at the United Center. We're going to go to the United Center, but we're not going to watch hockey.
I want to say I lettered Hawks jerseys for work through 2018, and Gustafson, I feel like maybe I sold one, but I feel like he's one of the guys I never made. I've sold the worst, like you guys name it from that era. I've sold
Jack
the worst
Skilly.
Players. No, I'm talking like 2011 through 18, but I really didn't letter him until like 14.
Because I just say that because I have a Jackson.
Yeah, I know you have a Skilly, which is ridiculous.
I don't want to talk about it. Hey, before we get out of here, any food thoughts or food takes really quick? Here we go. Really quick, Shay and Mill, I will get your opinion.
Oh, okay,
on this.
I got one. I got a quick one. If you enjoy baked potatoes, the best way to make them at home is to brine them in a salt brine and then bake them in like an oven where they can get like 360 degree cooking without foil, and they taste amazing. They're crispy on the outside.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to this podcast back so I can understand that's a lot, and I don't have a pen to write down all my notes.
I'll send you the recipe.
Okay, please do. I had a really quick. Just I was gonna ask the two of you your favorite Hostess. Dessert or your favorite Hostess product.
Oh,
easy. Hostess makes the cupcakes, ding dongs, Susie Q's, Twinkies, all that. Mill, go first.
Orange cupcakes.
Incorrect. Oh, wait. Orange cupcakes? What? When do they make orange cupcakes?
They all
have Halloween.
You can get them all the time.
Yeah.
For real?
I've seen them.
Isn't that just a Halloween thing?
No.
That's orange Oreos.
Orange cupcakes. They come in a 2-pack. Go to Speedway.
All right. We're going to have to talk about
it. Cosmic Brownies Hostess?
No, those are Little Debbie. Shay, what about you? What's your answer?
Ho-hos.
Look. Because, I feel like cupcakes and ding-dongs and ho-hos are basically all of the same thing. It is a chocolatey bread thing with vanilla cream. Swear to the Hostess cupcakes are the best things in the world.
Yeah, see, mine are Hostess cupcakes. They're just orange. I'm not a big Twinkies guy. I think they're overrated.
That's fair. They changed the recipe like when they were like first canceled like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
got worse.
But the thing is, like, their chocolate is much better than their other stuff. It's just that the orange ones, I don't know. They're good. But any of the chocolate ones are great.
I will say for any of those Hostess things, like room temperature, they're good. Something about putting them in the fridge makes them.
I low-key kind of fuck with Ding Dongs. Didn't think I'd ever
I feel
say
like,
that.
I feel like Ding Dongs like and cupcakes are pretty much identical, just presented.
In yeah.
The thing about it's, the...
So,
go ahead.
It's like Taco Bell, where it's like all the same ingredients.
Yeah, exactly.
Different packaging.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's what the best of Hostesses.
Yeah, they're still delicious though.
The only thing about Taco Bell is you can order whatever you want and modify it to be something else, which is funny as hell.
What's the Taco Bell thing they're bringing back? Was it the Mexican pizza? I saw that they're bringing something. I saw like,
oh, that's amazing.
One of them clickbaity headlines of Taco Bell fans will welcome this item back, and I forgot to click on it. So, but it looked like a Mexican pizza. So that's good to know. Because again, we are the best food themed hockey podcast on the internet. That's it for all my thoughts. Shay Mill, any final words before we get the hell out of here?
I'll say this. I feel like if the Second City crew can all get together for like a summer party, we would have the best food on the planet because we'd all be cooking up shit.
Or we just argue with each other about what is the best food.
Or we get really drunk.
Well, why not both?
Well, after this Blackhawks season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm making marks for everybody.
Well, I'm just telling, save your liver, Mill. You might need it for next season too. And maybe the one after that. And then maybe,
once football season starts, it's Sundays only.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good to have everything in moderation, right?
The Steelers take a lot out of me.
Shay,
y'all have won Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, Mill. I don't, any of your Steelers complaints, I can't be.
Oh, no. Because... I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's a lot of drinking going on during the games, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
well, same with the Bears and also.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing about that. I'm just saying when it's football season, I'd shift my focus to Sunday drinking because I don't want to overdo it throughout the rest of the week.
See, that's smart. That's a veteran talking right there.
Smart.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
One day I grow up, Mill, I hope to be able to drink as well as intelligently as you do.
Oh, we'll go out soon.
Okay. Yeah. Me, you, and Zach Plesak, right?
I don't know if Zach will be available. I could probably get Ron.
All right, that'll work.
He's in AZ right now. I can hit him up.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap up this episode of Musings on Madison. I don't know what the hell that was for the last hour, but I was entertained. Hopefully, you were as well listening to it. We're gonna do a few more episodes, obviously. As the season wraps up here, and then we'll get into our off season mode. And I don't know what the hell that's going to look like, but we'll figure that out when we get there. Thank you again to you for listening to this episode. Thanks to Shay and Mill for hanging out this evening. Shay's on Twitter at Shepherd Price, Mill's at Mill182. I'm at TMill57. The main account is at 2ND City Hockey, and secondcityhockey.com is your place for all of our articles and recaps and previews, and then player reviews that are coming and, draft previews and, you know, all that other fun stuff we'll get into when the time comes. So one final thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you,
Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.